Welcome to the National Geographic Science Podcast Series. I am Barbara Quincer Coulter, Director of Research and Professional Development at National Geographic School Publishing. Our guest today is Dr. Malcolm Butler, Associate Professor of Science Education at the University of South Florida in St. Petersburg. Dr. Butler's teaching and research addresses multicultural issues in the classroom. With a specialization in physics, he has worked to support typically underserved student populations and has interest in the areas of writing to learn in science, science content for elementary teachers, and coastal and environmental education professional development for teachers. He has written and contributed to several academic journals, including the Journal of Research and Science Teaching, the Journal of Science Teacher Education, the Journal of Multicultural Education, and Science Activities. Malcolm, thanks so much for joining us today to discuss motivating young students to be successful in science. In your author monograph titled Motivating Young Students to Be Successful in Science, Keeping It Real, Relevant, and Rigorous, you mentioned that knowing how to teach young children in science is quite different from teaching science at the middle and high school level. Can you elaborate on that for our listeners?
Thanks again, Barbara, for the opportunity to share with educators about the National Geographic Science Series, and in particular this topic of how we go about motivating young children to be successful in science. I think this idea of teaching young children, in particular elementary age children, compared to middle and high school students, science, one of the things we can agree on is that the science, in terms of those big ideas, are pretty much the same. In fact, here in the state of Florida, we've narrowed down the big ideas across grades K through 12 to 18 big ideas. And even though we might have some conversation about whether or not those are the exact big ideas we want, nevertheless, the case has been made in this state that, indeed, those 18 big ideas are important to all grade levels. So I think we can agree that there are certain concepts that we can teach young children across all grade levels, K through 12. It's just the level of complexity and how in-depth we go into each topic is a bit different. Another big difference between young children and the older children is that elementary teachers must be able to engage, motivate, and instruct young students in science, children who come from a myriad of backgrounds, learning styles, and lived experiences. And when they come to us at a very young age, we have to be able to build upon all of those experiences that those young children have had in a way that helps them to connect with the science that we're trying to help them to understand. As the children get older, they are having many more experiences with things that we can connect to science. And so the task of connecting to their experiences with the older children may be a tad bit easier. But for the young children, those elementary teachers have kids that are typically already very interested and excited about things that connect with science, in particular things that happen in nature. And so the teacher really has to engage and instruct those children in a way that connects with their experiences that they're having, deal with those preconceptions they have, whether those preconceptions are right on target or whether they're totally off base, and make sure that those kids come out of their classroom connecting their experiences lived outside of the classroom to the kinds of science that are being addressed in the classroom.
Thank you. And in your author monograph, you present three key aspects of motivation. Let's just dive into the first one, making science real.
Well, the idea of making science real kind of connects to the fact that when we're talking about the science that we're doing in our classroom, our young children are experiencing science every day. Even though they may not realize it, they're doing all kinds of things in their lives. They're outside playing on the playground. They may be riding the bus to school and splashing in the water. They may be bringing things to school in their pockets. They're experiencing science in all kinds of ways. And so for us as the classroom teacher, it's important to help us to help our kids, our students, to connect what they're experiencing in their lives to what's happening in our classroom. In that way, we're making it real for our students because we indeed are making science a part of what they are doing when they leave our classroom. And there are several examples of that in the National Geographic Science Series. The Science in a Snap is a fantastic tool for beginning the conversations about science in a meaningful way for young learners because in many cases, those are the kinds of things they're experiencing in their own lives. When framed correctly, Not knowing an answer or a solution can be a powerful motivator for young explorers and pioneers. And so if they're asking a question that they might be experiencing in their lives outside of the classroom that they haven't quite figured out, that can be fertile ground for the teacher to explore further with those students. So they might want to know, why is the grass green? Why is the sky blue? Those are great questions for teachers to build upon and make the science real, because those are the kinds of questions their students might be asking them.
Great, and playing on their, or diving in or tapping into their students' natural curiosity about the world. The second key aspect of motivation is making science relevant. What does this look like in the classroom?
Well, it closely ties, Barbara, to the idea of being real. However, relevant, I think, has a little bit of a different angle, because in the relevancy area, what's relevant for a six-year-old may be a bit different than what's relevant for, say, a 10-year-old, a fifth grader. And even though that's a difference of a few years, any teacher who has taught kindergartners and also fifth graders can tell you that those students' lived experiences and what's relevant to them can be very different. And so the relevancy comes into play when teachers connect with what their students are living, what their students should know and be able to do at the appropriate grade level, and being able to bring in the kinds of science experiences and ideas that connect with the students at the appropriate grade level. And so the relevancy really ties to what is appropriate for the student, not only within his or her lived experiences, but also within his or her grade level and what the expectations are at the district level, the state level, the national level, and even the international level when it comes to what our students should know and be able to do at the different grade levels. So that's the relevancy.
And lastly, the final key aspect is making science rigorous for all of our students. How can teachers effectively do this in the classroom, especially with the diverse needs of all of their students?
Well, everybody knows nowadays, Barbara, that we live in a very global community. Our students are indeed citizens of the world. In many ways, that's a very positive thing, because we are able to communicate and collaborate in ways and with people around the world in ways in which we have not been able to do in the past. Another part of that is not only can we communicate with folks that way, but also the level of competition when it comes to mathematics, science, technology-related fields, that competition is ramped up. And so if our students are going to be able to compete on a global scale, be able to collaborate with folks across the world, we have to have them learning the kinds of science that will allow them to compete on that stage, the global stage. And so the rigor must be the kind that helps students to move forward in their understanding of key science concepts and skills. And I referenced in the author monograph about an example with Ms. Johnson's student telling her at the end of the school year for science that the young man said he had learned a lot in her class. He didn't remember her much. He hadn't learned a lot of science, but he had a lot of fun. And I think the fun is really important. I think as teachers, we try to make classes fun as much as possible, because I truly believe that the process of learning and teaching should be fun. However, we can't leave out the importance of the rigor, that our students have to be able to engage in science in a way that helps them to move forward in their understanding of those science ideas and skills that will help them to be scientifically literate citizens. And if we include that, if we're thinking about preparing our students for jobs that are not even created yet, for jobs that don't even have names, we're going to be able to have students who are able to compete on that global stage, understanding the kinds of rigorous science that's going to be important for them to compete with their colleagues around the world and be able to communicate and collaborate with them on that national and international stage. And so the rigor of the science comes into play on multiple levels, especially when we're talking about helping our students to be citizens of the world.
Thank you. And let's look at all three of these key aspects of motivation together, making it real, relevant, and rigorous. And just have you talk a little bit about how National Geographic Science motivates young students to be successful.
Well, Barbara, there's a lot of scientists, a lot of researchers that have talked about the importance of motivating students, that in order for students to really get what we want them to get out of different science lessons, that in some way they have to be motivated to want to know or want to learn. And I think in the National Geographic Science series, that importance is put right out front when we talk about making things real, making things relevant, and making the science rigorous. And that happens on multiple stages, especially for learners that come from all walks of life in our classroom. That ELL component, where we're addressing those three different levels of English language learners and helping them to become much more connected with what we're trying to do in our science classrooms, is a big part of the motivation for those students in terms of the National Geographic Science Series. I think, as I mentioned earlier, the science in the SNAP is a really good part and a really good place for us to help students to connect with the science we're trying to do in the classroom. And one of my favorite things really helps the teachers, and that is to raise your IQ. I think that also helps teachers to understand the science better so that they in turn can increase the rigor in their classroom, because there may be students that are at a stage in their growth and development where they're ready to challenge and tackle some of those ideas that are raised in the Raise Your IQ section of the teacher's edition. And so by virtue of the teacher understanding that that level of the science, the teacher then is able to impart that new knowledge or help the students to better understand those concepts that are in the Raise the IQ section of the National Geographic Science Series. So I think all of those are part of motivating students to not just do the minimum. As I share with teachers many times, when we look at these standardized tests, in many cases, that is the floor. And we're really not trying to help our students to reach the floor. We want them to go to the ceiling and beyond. And so if we really want them to move in that direction, we have to motivate them to go beyond where they are. And National Geographic Science, I think, really helps students to connect with their own experiences, making it real for them, making it relevant depending on where they are in their growth in terms of their formal education vis-a-vis the grade level, and then adding the amount of rigor that they need to move them to a point where they can understand science at a level that allows them to communicate with folks all over the world and compete with them as well when it comes to job opportunities, and also being able to help them to understand the science that helps them and allows them to communicate with people all over the world.
As we wrap up this podcast, Malcolm, can you pose a big question for groups that might be gathering in professional learning communities that you want to leave with them so that they can focus on how to effectively motivate their students to be successful in science?
Sure, Barbara. One of the big phrases that we've been using for years now in the science education community, I almost feel like it's been our mantra for a while, is science for all students. So that we have science that all of our students are able to understand and know and be able to do. And I think that's a really important slogan. However, when I'm working with teachers and I'm working with students, I change that a little bit to really help me to think about every single student in my classroom who are coming from all walks of life. And so the big question that I think is really important here might be for teachers to think about, how can I teach in ways that engage and motivate each of my students to learn science? And so when we say each, I think it really helps us to think more so about the individual needs, the learning styles that are present in my classroom, and allows me to focus on every single one of the students in my classroom. And I think if we think in terms of each, then surely we will be much more successful in science for all.
And thank you so much for your time today, Malcolm. I think our listeners are now better prepared and motivated themselves to really focus on that very important aspect of motivation in the area of science. Thanks for listening to our National Geographic Science podcast series. For more information, check out the National Geographic Science Professional Development website for additional tools and ongoing support to help you bring science alive in your classroom.